Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are live here on Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, and Author, Sean Douglas. And welcome to all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is heard in 27 countries. I'm blown away every single time I look at how many listeners I have, where they are, where they're from. I just get blown away, and I want to thank you all for listening and taking the time to listen to the show. So thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here we tell the stories of why we are doing what we're doing and how we're helping others to transform. You can listen to us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. On the show, we have impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. So if you have a question, because this is a live show, if you have a question at any point for our guests, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, it is 657-383-1109. And my guest today, I have the honor and privilege to have on the show. I am super pumped to have her. She is an incredible, incredible, incredible human being. And her name is Edna Keep. And she is a real estate guru, real estate phenomenal person. She is just completely amazing. And she is going to talk about opening doors and doing everything in her power to help other people become successful millionaires. And I had the privilege of talking with her before we got on the show weeks ago, and I was just blown away at the things that she is doing. So before I bring her on, we will learn about exactly what she does, and she's from Canada, and having some issue. Here we go. So Edna Keep is a real estate investment coach. She's a real estate investment coach, and she has a strong passion for helping new and experienced real estate investors grow their real estate businesses, and has built the real estate portfolio to 437 doors valued at $47 million. That is incredible. I'm not a real estate guy, but that sounds like that is absolutely insane, incredible. So I cannot wait to hear how she did this. While continuing to add doors, and she added another 84 in 2016, she focuses her time on speaking about and teaching busy, everyday, hardworking people how to build your own wealth and opportunities through real estate. So she is very passionate about what she's done and is doing. And I am just, oh my gosh, completely, completely excited. So let's welcome Edna to the show. Welcome. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, Sean. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm super, super pumped to have you here.
Well,
so it says that you provide coaching,
thank you so
masterminds,
much.
And yeah, absolutely. It says you provide coaching, masterminds, online training to all students who combined have purchased over $100 million in real estate the last 3 years. That is incredible.
Yes, they've done really, really well.
I cannot wait.
I'm very proud of them.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. I cannot wait to hear how this happened, how it, you know what I mean? So are you ready to get into it?
Sure, absolutely. Ask me anything you like, and with the listeners, if they have any questions, I don't mind being interrupted.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So the first question we always ask on the show is why. So I feel this is the first question that we always have to ask ourselves every day when we wake up, like, why am I doing what we do? So the first question of the show always is why. Why did you decide to do what you do now?
You know, it was actually a series of choices I made over my life. I became a single mom at age 16, and all of a sudden I started getting treated like I didn't have a brain. And that really bothered me. You know, it was like, okay, stuff happens, whatever. But back in the day, it was like, oh, my gosh, people just thought I was, I don't know if they thought I was an idiot, but they didn't treat me very respectfully. And I think I've been fighting for respect ever since. You know, it's funny. And I really enjoy the whole personal development world. And I love it. And the very first conference I ever went to in regard to real estate, I was in the group with probably about 300 other students. And I said, you know what? I want to do this the rest of my life. I love being around people in this frame of mind that are growing as people and just wanting to get better and wanting to do something. And it just so happened that the real estate is where I really met a lot of people that were like-minded.
That's perfect. So tell me who you were got to this point. Tell me who you were before you got to this point. Because, you know, the whole theme of the show, right, is about transformation. You didn't just wake up like a real estate, you know, mastermind. You didn't wake up real smart into investing and coaching and whatever. So tell me who you were, right? Because I had read that you were doing clerical jobs, secretary, waitressing or what have you. You know, you had a child at 16. Who were you going into your 20s and 30s, you know, and up leading to the point where you decided real estate is my venture?
Well, like I said, I was a single mom. My choices were kind of limited for going to school and stuff. But, you know, I started working when I was 14, and I loved having money in my pocket. I just felt I that was a good feeling. I could buy whatever I wanted, could treat my friends to a beer, French fries, whatever it was. and I liked being a person. And you know, I never really made good money because I never had anything but a high school education. I worked waitressing, clerical, and I didn't mind the work. I went in very enthusiastic, but I got bored really fast. And so I kept moving jobs and thinking, oh, my gosh, is this my life? You know, there's got to be something more interesting, more fun to do. And so I just kept searching, and I kept moving up a little bit. I went from a receptionist to an accounting clerk to a manager of an office. And you know what? And I got higher salary each time and made some decent money, but it still wasn't really where I wanted to be. I always had this dream that if I could make at least $100,000 a year, I would feel like I was doing well. And so while I was working at my final wage job, I got introduced to financial services, actually through a network marketing company. I don't know if the listeners remember a company called A.L. Williams. It's actually called Primerica now. And I liked the work. I really liked the work. I didn't like all the recruiting part of it, though. So I actually moved out of that company and just went to a company that wasn't into all the recruiting and stuff. And I actually took a few of my team members over there with me. So I still was kind of like a manager there. And that's where I really found the money that I wanted to be making. You know, I liked the work. I always felt like, oh my gosh, I get paid this well to just go around and have coffee with people, because that's how I felt. Like, yeah, we talked investments, but really people just wanted to connect with you as a person.
Most of my clients are not the kind of clients that wanted all the details about an investment. They just wanted to know, like, and trust somebody. And those were the kind of people I tended to attract. So when we got together, it was like coffee, cookies, visiting, and just really getting to know each other. And I really liked it for a long time. As a matter of fact, I was a financial advisor for about 15 years. But then, you know, the market started going up and down all the time. And so we really, when how we got into real estate is all we thought we'd do is we would just find another income stream, because we'd heard about multiple streams of income. And we thought, well, let's just add something. You know, we kind of got this financial advice thing down pat. I wasn't going to quit. I liked what I did. And so we actually attended a class through Rich Dad Poor Dad. Actually, it was Russ Whitney back when we very first started. But during our first year of being with him, it transitioned over to Rich Dad's group. And we took a 3-day class, and at the end, we had to make a decision whether we were going to go further and spend big bucks. I think it was $27,000 at the time. Or go back and try to figure it out on our own. And I'm a big believer in coaching and getting training by people who've done what I'm looking to do. So we decided to go ahead and do the training. So within 18 months, like, we'd actually set a goal after we first signed up. We said, okay, we want to have 50 doors in 5 years, because we were kind of taught if we could get $100 a door, 50 to $100 a door for cash flow, that it was a good idea. To buy the property. So we were in a market that was pretty much on an upward trend. And so we thought, okay, well, if we get 50 doors, that'll be $5,000 a month. That's a pretty sweet income on the side. And in 18 months, we'd hit that goal.
Wow. And
we were on cloud 9. And at that point, when I really understood real estate, I couldn't sell mutual funds any longer. It just didn't make any sense to me. I could really understand how real estate worked. I was still, I relied on all the managers at the fund companies to know what they were doing about managing all the businesses and everything that we were buying. And of course, I had the blinders on because I was only ever taught by mutual fund companies. It's kind of like a doctor being taught by pharmaceutical companies, right? What do you learn? You learn to sell mutual funds. And in doctors' case, they learn how to sell drugs. And you know, a couple things. I don't agree with that anymore. I thought it was the way at the time. So when we seen how lucrative it was, how we could really make a difference. You know, we got good housing for great tenants and we're making some pretty decent money. So in 2 years from, well, just slightly over 2 years from the day we were introduced to real estate, I actually sold my financial planning practice, and I was making about $250,000 a year. So it wasn't an easy decision. It was an easy decision for me, but I got a lot of flack for it. People couldn't believe that I would do that. They thought, you know what, you've built yourself up such a great business here. And I was only working 3 days a week. And because our girls at that time in 2009, they were 5 and 3. And they thought, oh, you're crazy. You know what, you're down to working 3 days a week. Why would you want to take on this new venture at this time in your life or even ever? You got it made here. But, you know, I didn't feel like I had it made there. People, you know, they used to ask you, well, what's your sweet spot? Why should we buy mutual funds from you as opposed to the guy sitting over there? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not that smart. I'm just normal person. I was never a straight-A student. I don't, you know, even understand all the beta-alpha ratios and all that kind of stuff. So if you want that from me, I'm your wrong person. But, you know, I'll show you. This is what I have in my portfolio. I sell the same thing that I own. I always liked that. I thought, if I'm selling something, I should own it. And so people, I think, felt comfortable and trustworthy with me that way. And that was really why I built my business, not because I was that brilliant. But when I got into real estate, what I realized is that, you know, my background as a financial advisor really put me in a sweet spot that I never had anywhere else. because we were able to, people kept started asking, "Oh, how the heck did you do that? What do you mean you got 50 doors in 18 months? I've been doing this for 3 years. I haven't bought a property yet." You know, we'd hear that and we'd go, "Really? Like, why not?" "Well, I'm scared and, you know, I'm just worried I might make the wrong decision." And it was like, well, that could happen. We probably made a few wrong decisions, but it's like the power of many at a time. If one or two go wrong, it's no big deal. Like the rest will carry them off. But they had still got a paralysis analysis and couldn't make their first deal. So people would ask me, how did you do it? And I realized that I knew how to talk to investors. So I knew what people were looking for when it come to investing. And I was able to explain it in a really easy fashion and how they would make their money, how we would make our money, and what our value was compared to what their value was. And so that was really got to be our sweet spot. And
wow.
We were able to build the portfolio. And you know, that whole portfolio, too, has been built with only 25 investors, which is another big feat because a lot of people think, oh, I need 100 investors to have that kind of a portfolio. But if you get some good ones, you know, they'll invest with you again and again.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's all about providing the value, which you did. You provided the value, which I think separated you from everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? It was the value you provided.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think what
the incredible thing was that really stood out about it was you were saying, like, we had these goals and we had this and we had you know, these systems in place and this whatever. Like, I find it amazing that you have bought and read thousands of books and spent so much money on seminars and programs and all of this stuff to get where you need to go. Like, that blew me away. I'm like, oh, I read this book. Like, I'm so much better. You know what I mean? Like, I took this online speaking course, you know, like, I'm going to be super awesome. But there's people spending thousands of dollars. I've spent almost $20,000 this year just on personal development, you know, and I can see that it's worked out great, you know, but speak to someone who just, I don't want to spend the extra $400 to learn this program or, you know, they have all these reasons why they don't want to invest in whatever programs, books that are out there to get them to where they need to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, those same people will be the ones that will approach you and say, you know, I'd really love to take your course, but I don't have any money. Could you give it to me for free? Or, you know, and I had one coach that said to me, you know, when people approached him like that, he'd say, well, you know what, I want you to take this book. I want you to go read it. And then when you're done, I want you to call me back and we'll talk about that. And the ones who never read the book never come back. That was his
right.
Yeah, no. So he weeded people out. And, you know, I had to laugh. Just the other day when we were on a call with Rock Thomas, he was telling a story about one of the students in the group. And he said, yeah, the guy was telling me, oh, I don't have any money to take your course. And, yeah, I want to get better. And, yeah, I want to do more, but I don't have any money to take your course. And he says, oh, what are you doing now? He says, well, I'm working 25 hours a week. And he says, well, get off your ass and go work. That might have been my words. Go work 40 hours a week. Come back to me when you have the money.
Right.
Oh yeah, that sounds like something I'd say. I loved it. And he said the guy came back to him in 3 weeks with the money. You know.
There you go.
Yeah, it's hard to talk to people like us who have spent the money on the education, spent the money on the masterminds and the conferences, and loved every minute of it. I know some people, they find that a chore, but you know what? I love being around people who are in that frame of mind. And I bet you we've spent in the last, 10 years, we've spent over $500,000 on that. Because, I mean, we make the money. People say,
wow.
Why don't you use your own money in real estate? I use my money to improve myself, to help. I get investment money through real estate. That's why they
use other people. You know, I blew. So what was funny to me was when I first started getting into, you know, I've heard about people investing in real estate, and I've heard of OPM, like, you know, years ago, you know, but I just find it so funny, like, other people's money. Like, how do you use other people? Like, you just solicit it? Like you're literally using other people's money? Like, how does that even happen? And then they kind of go through the whole investing talk, and I'm like, that's incredible. Like, you have other people.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, yeah,
I get students all the time that's amazing, and they think, well, but they always have the question, well, why would people just give me money? And I said, well, you know what? People don't just give you money. You provide a very valuable service, and I teach you what that service is and for you to understand your value in a deal, because there's three things that come to a deal. It's the money or the capital, the people, and then the deal. So I usually bring two, the people who manage the whole deal and the money. So the person who the investors, and then the people who give me the money, the investors, they're one third of the deal. So when I tell them, when you get a large portion of the deal for that, you've got yourself a good deal. We manage it. It's kind of like an armchair investment for you. And so that's the way that we offer out our investments, as an armchair investment. They don't have to do anything, just add the capital.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's pretty simple. You pretty much simplified it. That's awesome.
Well, too many people, I think, try to show their brilliance by complicating things. And I know myself, if you talk circles around me and you can't make me understand, I won't invest and I won't put my money into anything. It's got to be simple. It's got to be something that makes sense.
Okay. I got you. So looking back, can you pinpoint exactly what your transformation was, or when was it? What is the point where you said, this is it. We've got something here. I'm tired of doing whatever I've been doing. Real estate is it for me. What was that moment of clarity? What was your transformation moment?
It was probably about that 2-year end point. By that time, I was working real estate about 3 days a week, and my assistant at my financial planning office was looking after most of my clients. I actually showed up in the office one day a week for appointments, and she handled everything else. So when she quit, I knew I was done, because I couldn't handle it by myself. So when we had all of the quick success, and I sold my practice, when I sold it, I worked it out that I would get paid over the next 4 years, a monthly payment, and that was going to be what allowed me to build my income up to what I needed it to be, because I wanted to have $20,000 a month. $5,000 was just like the bare minimum. My goal was to build my passive income up to $20,000 a month over the next 4 years, so that I would be back where I was while I had my financial planning firm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect.
So when I could see that happening, I knew I was on the right path. And for a while I thought, well, how can I teach people? I've got that background of a financial advisor. They don't have that. How do I teach them to do what I did? And I realized that's my strength. I can teach them to do what I did by short-circuiting it. Because you don't need years and years and years of taking, I took certified financial planner and I took all this. But you know what? It boils down to a few things. And that is, treat your investor right, pay them before you pay yourself, and do good business. And in real estate, there's stuff that can go wrong. So the biggest thing I've done for myself is constantly improving my mindset. And so I handle challenges well. And we have challenges. And I can talk to investors through those challenges, because we all know that real estate has been is one of the safest way to build your wealth in the world. It's one of the quickest ways to build your wealth. And even people who haven't built their wealth in real estate hold it there.
Really?
So as long as people can wrap their head around that, yeah, it's true. And as long as people can wrap their head around that and realize that we're going to go through some of the same ups and downs as we do with mutual funds, but you know what? That building is still there. And as long as we manage it and look after that building and don't let it get run down, that building will always be there. We attract good tenants. Look after our tenants. We consider our tenants our customers. And the lifetime value of a customer, I've heard people say, oh, yeah, lifetime value of our customer is like $1,000. Well, if somebody's renting from you and they're paying $1,000 a month, our yearly lifetime value of or lifetime value is hard to say. What if they're with us 3-4 years? But a yearly value is like $12,000. That's them paying off our mortgage for us. We treat them really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard Rock say similar things. You mentioned Rock Thomas earlier, and and I'm always fascinated by some of the things that they talk about and the real estate. And he's the same way. You know, he's huge on personal development. Huge on personal development. And he talks all the time about, you know, the goals and the doing good business and, you know, being authentic and transparent and, you know, all that. So, yeah, I absolutely agree 100%. So I have a two-part question. A lot of these are going to be like two-parters. So because I believe that there's two sides to every story. So the first one is, what was the best part about your transformation so far, about your journey?
You know, I'm at a place in my life that I'm just comfortable with myself. I really like the person that I've become. And that's probably the biggest thing for me, because you know what, as a young person, I was always beating myself up, and I wish I would have learned how to give myself credit for what I was good at. But you know, you listen to other people tell you, well, you're not that smart, because you're not. But you know what? Being all that smart isn't everything. It's what you're willing to do and the person you're willing to become that's going to take you to the next level. But, you know, teachers don't tell you that. If you're not an A student, they don't have any respect for you. But, you know, one of the books that really made a big difference in my life was Robert Kiyosaki's book, that's Why Do A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government? And he explains in there that A students are the ones that can follow all the rules, do what the teacher says, memorize a whole bunch of crap, and regurgitate it out onto a piece of paper. Entrepreneurs don't care that much. You know, they care more about, does that make sense? Can I make money from that?
Oh, I was a terrible student.
Can I provide value for that? Yeah. You know what? Most really successful entrepreneurs today were terrible students. But, you know, weren't we made to feel like we were idiots when we were in school?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times. You know, well,
We
definitely weren't the ones that were respected. And so now, I share that with my girls, and I say, you know, I really don't care what you get in marks in school. I care what kind of person you are. And I care that you're caring and loving and sharing, and I really don't care about your marks. So when they come back to me, and I mean, they both have really good marks. So that's, I think it just goes to be show the person that they are. My youngest at one time was getting a little lower marks than my oldest. And I just said to her one time when her older sister was bugging her, I said, oh, one day she'll work for you. So never mind.
That's funny. I've never heard of that book. I've heard of a lot of Robert Kiyosaki books, but I've never heard of that one.
It's a really good book. It's one of my favorites because I love the way he teaches. Like, he's a little gruff and rough around the edges, but his whole philosophy about building wealth makes so much sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I philosophize just around what he's built. But that book really made a difference because it made me realize, that's why I didn't do well in school. I really didn't care, and I never did. I just didn't care if I got an 80 average. People, you know, teachers saying, why don't you just try to be like your brother? You know, he's good in sports, and he's got an A average, and you could be just like him. I go, I don't want to be like him.
Yep.
He's one of my favorite brothers. There's nothing wrong with him, but hey, we didn't get credit for what we did. And I think that's something that's wrong with our school systems too, is they don't work within people's strengths. If you're not a conformer and you're a bit of a rebel, well, then you're the bad guy, and you're not built up the way we could be.
Exactly. Yeah. I just recently, earlier this year, pulled my son out of school because he was having all kinds of problems. And, you know, they were like, well, he's not learning at the rate that everybody else is learning, whatever. I mean, he can regurgitate everything that they're talking about, but he just didn't care. He's just like, whatever, dude, I'm not interested in this stuff. Like, I don't care. You know, he's more interested in his stuff, not like video games or whatever, but he's more interested in his stuff. Like, I want to be an animator. So how do I do it? Because he sees me like, I want to be this person. How do I do it? He's modeling the same thing. Like, well, I want to be this. How do I do it? I love like Legos. Like, how can I build stuff? So he's into like building things. So, you know, architectural, whatever. So he's into that stuff, but he's learning like math and science stuff. He's like, Dad, science is going to help me build stuff. I'm like, you never know. You never know. It might.
Yeah.
He's like, it's not. I need math. I'm like, okay, so he's smart enough to know, like, this isn't part of it. Like, is it? So he asked me the other day, I grabbed a speaking book from Lois Kramer. I grabbed one of her books, a new one, and I started reading his stuff. He's like, Dad, he's like, are you learning biology? I was like, what? He's like, no, dude, I'm reading a speaking book. He's like, oh, because I heard that biology would totally help you in this scenario. And, like, smiles at me and walks away, and I was like, you smart. Like, you know, like, he just knows. He's like, I heard that biology is going to make you good speaker. You know what I mean? I'm like, you smart. Like, I'm starting to, like, kind of rub off on him, but at the same time, I'm trying to give him that freedom that, that you know, hey, man, we do need to do this stuff, and you need to pass tests and whatever. So he's smart enough to know, but he's still – like learning at the same time. I love it. And I'm always trying to reach out and figure out how I can best serve him.
Yes. And questioning things, right? Let him keep questioning that. Who says that person's smarter than me? That's not true.
Right.
even if it's my own dad, that's not true. I'm just as smart or I'm going to be.
Right. Yeah. I love it. No, so the second part of that question was, the second part of that question was, what was the worst part about the transformation and the journey so far?
Well, you know, going into an entrepreneur world, there's a lot of challenges. You know, I teach my students all the time, work on your mindset all the time, because you're going to have challenges. No way around those challenges. You just have to be tough enough to deal with them. And so going through the challenges was tough. Being a single mom was tough. So I think if you get past being a single mom and your kid's still alive, then, you know, that was probably the toughest thing I went through, because I got dissed a lot. I got disrespected. I didn't like that. I got treated like a dummy. And I just had to prove that to myself, because I don't even stay in touch with anybody back from home anymore.
Sure.
But that, no, that wasn't me. And this is me. And this is the person I've always wanted to be. And so there you go. So the hardest thing, just going through the journey. Sometimes the journey's hard. Sometimes it's an absolute blast. But you know what? You have to take the ups with the downs and just go in faith and know that if you keep working on yourself, you're going to end up fine. One of my favorite quotes from Jim Rohn, your income will never exceed your seldom exceed your personal development. And I've taken that to heart all along. And I always thought, you know what? Even if I'm not making the money I want to be making, or even if I'm spending it all on self-development, it's going to pay off, and it absolutely has. And still does.
I love that. No, that's incredible. I love that. Definitely.
Thank you.
Huh. Something to think about.
It makes
definitely
sense.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah. I was like, man, I've spent so much. Like, because you kind of want to get a return on investment, right? You're like, man, where's the return? But because the more you put into personal development, the more money you're going to make. That's the way that I interpret
Absolutely.
What you're saying.
Yep.
Yep.
You know what? I've seen it. Even when I was a financial advisor, I spent more on that kind of stuff than the others in the office. And they couldn't understand why I was one of the top performers all the time. And I just wasn't that smart. Like, I couldn't have the conversations with them. And I used to think, oh, my God, if you talk to your clients like that, it's no wonder you're not making great sales. You're boring them to death. You're driving them crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're probably dealing with a lot of entrepreneurs who are making the big bucks, right? And, I wasn't like that. I wasn't the one that was going to sit there with them for 3 hours and explain something. We'd go through the overview, the gist of it. I'd invite them to seminars. Most time they'd say, you go and tell me what I should know.
Oh, man.
A lot of time. Yeah.
Wow. That's a new one.
That's
a new one. Wow. So speaking of, like, conferences and seminars and books and all that, so who has been your biggest influencer?
Oh, you know what? I've had so many over the years, and you know, I always remember the newest ones in my life. Even already, I just met you and your group, and I'm just loving this M1 and Go Abundance. I just fit.
Yeah.
I can feel it already, and I've just met you guys. So thank you for that.
I can tell by your passion. I can tell by your energy. I feel it.
Oh, yeah. I just got on my first call with everybody the other day, and it was like, wow, they're making me do my net worth statement the first time they meet me. Are you kidding me? And I go, and I'm supposed to post that live on Facebook? Yep. And I go, oh, you know, so I still have clients don't want to give me a net worth statement. I've been a 15-year financial advisor, and it's like the first time you meet me, it's like, you want to see my net worth? Okay, well, I don't mind telling you. And I had that conversation with Brock, like, I've got a long ways to go, but I'm proud of where I came from or came to, you know.
Yeah.
And so I love it. I thought, wow, that's accountability from day one. That's what you're watching, because I'm always watching that bottom line. But I've never had anybody ask me, what's your net worth like? And you're saying, yeah, on our talks and our conversations, those are the stuff we have.
It's all about the one sheet.
I like that.
We live by the one sheet. But Rock preaches that, all about accountability. Are you holding yourself accountable? Don't worry, we'll do it for you. If you don't hold yourself, we're going to do it for you.
As a matter of fact, I'm kind of scared because I have one goal that's kind of been eluding me for a while, and I'm actually scared to talk about it because I know they're going to make me do it.
Okay.
I'm holding back a little. But you know,
you're
definitely going to
get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I don't mind it. So you know, I'm already being influenced by the new people I'm with, and yet other people that I've worked with and give a lot of credit to is a program I'm in right now is with Fabienne Fredrickson, all about leveraging your business, scaling what you already have. I'm getting a lot out of that. I do a lot of online courses. I actually just took a Speaking for Impact course from one of my students.
I love that.
You know?
Love that.
I'm always learning about everything, and it was so good. He did such a good job. I have my mentor before Fabienne was Ray Higdon, and he's heavy into network marketing. But when I met him, his background was real estate, and I was trying to build a network marketing company. But he says to me one day, he says, you know, Randy, you never talk about your network marketing company. You only ever talk about real estate. Why are you even concentrating on that? And I realized that, you know what, I'm kind of wasting my time there. So he helped me with my first event. He actually flew down from Florida with his wife and spent the whole 3 days and walked me through my event from the time we opened the doors on one morning till the time we closed at the third night. Helped me with everything, my sales pitch, my selling from the stage, my PowerPoint presentations, like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had so many mentors over the years, Dan Sullivan, Marshall Silver, Robert Kiyosaki. You know what? There's so many I can't even credit anyone because every single one built on the last one. You know, I don't regret spending money with any of these people. They're all fabulous, and I had to learn different things from different people. And every time I grew, and I always knew that was a good sign. If I was doing better and getting better and growing more, I knew I was making the right decision. So I've been actually working with a coach on all the time, like just changing different ones since 99. I've always had a coach, so that's a long time.
So the first person you said, Fredrickson, who was that, the first one? Fredrickson,
She's one that I'm working with right now, Fabienne Fredrickson. She's out in New York, Stamford, Connecticut. Actually,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And her company is called Bold Heart Business. And it's all about leveraging your business. Yeah, the program is actually called Leverage.
Okay, I thought it sounded a little familiar. I was like, I've heard of this.
Oh, you're familiar with it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it from a couple different people.
I attended a three-day, because I'm always teaching mindset with my stuff, but I realized I'd never attended a full three-day mindset retreat. And she held a mindset retreat in Fort Lauderdale last fall. And I took 10 of my students with me, and we just had a blast. It was so good, and
wow.
It was so powerful. And
awesome.
that was how I ended up in her program, because it was 3 days on mindset. Yeah, you learn a few
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you had to go back, would you change anything, or would you do anything different?
You know, I don't think I would. I always hear people saying fail forward fast, but I was always a little nervous about, you know, failing. I had a kid that I had to look after, and so I couldn't go bankrupt. I just couldn't, you know. There was people depending
right.
on me, and so fail forward fast, I liked the concept, and I wished I could have always did that, but I just felt a responsibility to everybody. I think that's one of my my strengths, and when you take that Strength Finders course, is responsibility. And I always felt a responsibility to everybody around me, like my investors, my clients when I was an advisor, my kids, my family, that I couldn't just fail. And, you know, so my steps have maybe been slower than some people,
mm-hmm.
but I've never went bankrupt. I've had some very tough financial times, but I've never went bankrupt, and
sure.
I've always paid out my clients. And that part, like I said, sometimes it feels a little slower than what some other people have done, but at the same time, I've
mm-hmm.
built up a really good, solid network, really good, solid clients who I like, and they like me, and they trust me, and they have a reason to, because I've never ripped them off, you know, stuff like that. And that's important to me. So, yeah, I just like where I am. I like where I am in my life, even though sometimes it's taken, I felt it took
Perfect.
A little longer than it maybe should have.
Yeah. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So what was the
yeah.
best resource that you found during your journey? Like, with no one's help, maybe you walked into a store and said, oh my God, I want this book, and it blew your mind away. Maybe it's experience. You know, what is it? What do you think is the best resource that you have right now that you found with no one's help?
Oh gosh, I'm always getting help from people. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I love that answer, though.
You know,
I love that answer.
Because I'm just a big believer in, why would I take the long way when I can take the short way? And if I can learn
yes.
from other people, why would I do that? I don't know. That's my idea. I just
yeah.
think.
No, I get
that,
it.
That's my
no, absolutely.
For so many years. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So,
and even,
so,
you know, books and that are usually referred to me by somebody, you know, or I
mm-hmm.
see it, even today, I just signed up for, bought a book because somebody had recommended. It was an awesome book. Might even have been in the M1 tribe. I buy books from Amazon every other day because somebody recommends a book. And lots of them are absolutely amazing. And I wouldn't hear about it if those people hadn't told me.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have the books that you buy? Or?
Well, you know, I did for years, but I kept having to give them away and sell them not sell them. I generally gave them away or threw them away. So now I buy everything Kindle, and I still get the odd, soft cover, something hard cover, but most of
sure.
my books are Kindle. Then that way I can go back
yep.
you know, and this is what I love about Amazon. Sometimes I get referred to a book and I think, oh, wow, that sounds good. And I go in to buy it and they say, hey, you already own that one. I go, oh, well,
I'm going to
read it again.
Well, thanks, Amazon.
Exactly. I love that.
I love it. That's awesome. Wow. Okay. Okay. So I'll play your game. I'll play your game. So who gave you the best resource and what was it?
You know, one of the most recent ones that really helped me make a mindset shift. And what I mean by that is, it took me a huge mindset shift to go from earning minimum wage to going to an office job that paid me $40,000 a year. That was a huge mindset
mm-hmm.
shift. It took me another huge mindset shift when I gave up that job and went into a full-time commission. And my second year, I made $187,000. That took a huge mindset shift.
Wow.
Then for years, I averaged around 250. My goal is always 1 million, but I averaged 250 for way too long. And this year, I'm on track to do a million. And the biggest mindset shift came from my mentor, Ray Higdon. And he taught me that money is energy. And money equals value. And I have that sticky note on my desk. Every day I look at it. Money equals value. And he said, Edna, if you ever don't have enough money, you don't say, how do I get more money? You say, how do I provide more value? That was the biggest mindset shift for me.
Rock talks about that. Rock talks about energy being money and, you know, money being energy or what have you, and mindset shifts. And, you know, he said one thing that when we first started, he said something that some people just don't believe that they're good enough to make that amount of money. You know, well, why aren't you good enough?
Yeah.
You know, you got to dig deep inside. You know, why aren't you good enough? So you are going to fit in with everyone, man. You're like, you're talking language. You're talking our language, you know.
Well, that's good. That's why, like I said, the first time I met, and that was all because of you, Sean. So I really, really appreciate all those introductions. Like, I'm in a tribe of six just amazing women. I got to see their net worth statements too and their stories, and I'm loving it already, and I might be getting to Montreal here next month.
Yes. That's awesome.
It coincides with a trip that I'm doing to New York. I'm actually at my leverage meeting 14th, 15th, so I'm asking Rock if I came late on the 6th or late on the 15th, early on the 16th if it would work. There's definitely some stuff happening.
That's awesome. Okay, so that would be my next question then. Where are you headed now? You have new adventures, new businesses, family. Like what do you got cooking up?
You know, I'm actually going to China at the end of next month for my first time ever. I've never been to China. Yep. And we are presenting to investors there. There's a trust company that we're going to sit down in front of and present our investment opportunities. And they manage over $150 billion U.S. And that's one trust company. And we're sitting down and we're going to be there 7 to 10 days. And we have an itinerary. We haven't got it fully booked, but planned. We'll be in front of banks, trust companies, and wealthy individuals about investing in Canada and in our province and in some large real estate deals, because that's what they're looking for. Minimum $15 million investments, what they're looking for. So, and you know what's really powerful, Sean? Guess how that came to me?
Through a connection?
Through a student.
Through a student?
Through a student.
Whoa!
Yes, through a student, yeah. Yeah. And he knows these guys. Yeah, he's a private pilot, and he flies for one of the wealthiest families out of Saskatoon, which is a city just next to ours. And through them, he made these connections in Shanghai because they travel down there. He flies them down there in their private jet, and it's his connections. A student, yeah.
That's correct. Oh wow! So, you never know.
I know.
You just never know. One of the things that we say in M1 is you say yes and then figure it out. You make it happen no matter what. You say yes and you figure it out.
I know. I've seen that a couple times. Just recently, I was questioning something. Let's just say yes and we'll figure it out. And I went, okay, I like that, because that's the kind of person I am. Let's say yes and figure it out.
Yep. Yeah, you say yes and you figure it out. So this is the moment of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug a friend, quote, your website, Facebook, products, movies, give a shout out to somebody, plug whatever you want. This is your moment to shine. Go.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that opportunity, Sean. Well, like I mentioned before, my courses kind of came about organically because people kept asking me, Edna, how the heck did you buy so much real estate so quickly? And what do you mean by other people's money? So I actually have a course called 90 Days to 5K, and it's kind of a catchy name, but I don't mean that you're going to be making $5,000 a month in passive income in 90 days. But what I mean is, in 90 days, I can teach you exactly what you need to know to be making $5,000 a month in passive income in 3 to 5 years. And if you question me, we did it in 18 months. So I know
how to do it. And I've helped people do it already. So that's my shameless plug. My course is phenomenal. If you want to check it out, I'd send you through a webinar called thefiveyearplan.ca, and it's just the number five, not the word five, but the number. So thefiveyearplan.ca, and that's my baby. That's my course that I love, that people get a lot of results from. And then for people that want to take it further and really make it a career, I actually have a mastermind. But that's actually invite only, and it all depends on what happens while you're in the course, because I go through each and every person's homework and get to know them, and we have conversations, have a couple of coaching calls with them. And then if they're fitting, because I'm very much like M1 and GoBundance, they have to have the same philosophy as me, clients first, investors first, service, not what's in it for me, but how can I make a difference in the world? And if you're that type of person, that's the kind I invite into my mastermind too.
That's awesome. I'm pumped.
Thank you.
I like getting excited. I'm like, wow, I'm just wrapping my head around it. You know, so full disclosure, like, I don't care about real estate or like any of that, you know, like I joined M1 because I needed a mindset shift. Like, I was going to learn something from somebody. These guys were super successful, right? I mean, these guys are just crushing it, and ladies, you know, crushing it, right? I'm like, man, I want to do that. Like, how do I do that? You know? So for the first couple times, I'm like, oh, this is great, you know? And then they got all about real estate. I'm like, I don't care. Like I want to know something about what I'm doing, you know? And so I thought about quitting a bunch of times, and I was like, man, this is so stupid. And then right when I think about quitting, I was like, I'm not getting anything out of it. Boom, something comes up. Because it's always changing, right? I mean, it's always changing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I apply something I learned from the rules of success, and then boom, I have a breakthrough. I'm like, oh, my God, this is amazing. I learned what you just told me, and then I applied it, and it works. Right? To get reinvigorated, you know. But I'm so happy that I didn't quit. I've been in it over a year, and I have learned – so much about myself, so much about mindset in general, and you make it happen no matter what you're doing. It's about making it happen no matter what. The meat and potatoes and the hows can come from like your course, from other people's courses, from your books, or, you know, whatever. But if you don't work with someone who is specializing in that mindset and giving you the tools and tips, like, dude, you got to do this or build a miracle morning or, you know, whatever. Like, you're just going to be lost. You know, it's not just about real estate. It's not just about mindset. It's not – and Rock calls it being a whole life millionaire, right? It's whole. It's all of it.
I really like that too. Yeah, I really like that because I always believed, what's the point of getting rich if you're sick? I've seen people do that, and it's like, or their family's gone because they never paid any attention to them. And we're actually out at the cottage right now, and I just came in from the boat where we were out with my daughter and her friend. They were kneeboarding. So I was out on the boat, and I said, I got to be back in my office or I'm actually in the bedroom in the cottage talking to you. I do believe in a full, rounded life. And some people say, well, why would you want to work while you're out at the cottage? I go, this isn't work to me. This isn't work to me. This is my life. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's awesome. So if somebody wanted to get into real estate, like, how would they do it? Do they just go buy a house? Or because I wanted to, I literally want to flip a house just to see, you know, like, just to see if I can do it. Like, even if I lose money, even if I can at least say, like, I attempted to do this. And there's a lot of people at M1 that can help me, and a lot of people in the One Life group. And, like, I've got people who can help me. Like, I'm not worried about that. But I want to see, like, can I do this? You know, because I think it'd be so fun.
Yeah.
My wife and I watch all these HGTV shows, and I know people that flip houses for a living. And, you know, but I think it'd be really cool just because I'm always about trying something at least one time. But how does somebody get involved in real estate? Do they just buy a house to live in, and then they move and not sell it, and then they rent it, and then you just go buy another house, and it just snowballs from there? How does one get involved in real estate investment, which is more than houses, it's buildings and other stuff, but how does one get involved?
You know, there's so many ways. And again, with myself, what I teach is, you know, a lot of it just it goes around what you want for a lifestyle. So Some people think they want to do a fix and flip because that's what they see on TV right now. So it's all sexy and fun and it looks fun and stuff. But, you know, fixing and flipping is a job. That is a job. And it also doesn't build your wealth. It gives you income, but it doesn't build your wealth because generally they fix and flip, sell it out to someone else. So my philosophy is a little bit different there. We had our bases covered. We didn't do a fix and flip. We got straight into buying long-term hold. My very first rental property I bought, I still own. Sometimes people will get me confused with a realtor and they'll say, oh, you sell real estate? And oh, no, I don't sell. I only buy. You know, and I mean, we have sold the odd one, but mostly we just buy and hold. So my philosophy is, you know what, you can go straight into multifamily. You can go straight into dealing with investor capital with the right deal. What do you want to do? And that's what I talk to people. Do you want a second job? Are you already doing something you absolutely love? Do you want long-term wealth? Do you want passive income? Or do you want a job? So if you want a job and you love the fix and flip, yeah, great. I'm not your person because I've never done one. If you want passive income and long-term wealth, that's what I teach and that's what I focus on. And I'm going to tell you a story about a couple of my students because that's actually how they came to me. They decided they were going to be real estate millionaires. They're 20 years old. One was 19 when they started with me, but now they're both 20. And good friends, see students in school, you know. And they didn't want to go to university. They wanted to be wealthy. They knew that. They weren't really sure how, so they started out with jobs and stuff. But they'd watched some fix and flip shows, and they decided that they needed to buy a house in the hood. And in our city, the hood is like the baddest area of the city. And so they decided that they were going to buy this house because they had some money saved up from their sales jobs, and they were going to go buy this hood house, flip it, fix it up, flip it, and make some money. So they went to the house with the realtor, looked at it. You know, they weren't very handy and they weren't really sure what they were going to do, but they thought, yeah, we can figure it out, right? They thought, well, you know what, we better go back at night because somebody had told them, you know, always check your properties out during the day and then again at night. And when they were both so too scared to get out of the vehicle, they realized that that probably wasn't a good job for them. So they went back to a mortgage broker that they'd been talking to about maybe getting the mortgage. And she said, you know what, you guys, if you want to be wealthy real estate investors, you guys need to meet Edna because what she teaches is different. But what you should do is that little bit of money that you got saved to buy this tiny little hood house, I think it was, you know, it was under $20,000. You need to spend that on your education first. So education first. You know, those guys signed up with me just over a year ago, May of last year. They now have 74 doors with none of their own money. They still live at home with their parents. Yes. When they went to hook up utilities for their apartment building, the power company couldn't figure out what they were even talking about. You bought an apartment. Yeah. And you don't have any past history with power. No, I still live at home with my parents. So you're moving into the apartment. Nope. It's an apartment where other people are going to live. They just couldn't wrap their head around it. But these young guys who've never even had power in their own name are buying a whole 12-unit apartment building. And then, of course, they didn't know it was with none of their own money. But, yeah, and I mean, we've worked with them. We've partnered with them. I've helped them partner up with some people with higher net worth. But they've got something that is of huge value to the rest of us, and that is they've got energy, they've got spunk, they are fun. Have you ever heard of Scott McGillivray?
Uh-uh.
No, okay. Anyway, he's a Canadian guy. He can be maybe along the same lines as Grant Cardone. You know Grant Cardone?
Okay, yeah. Love Grant Cardone. Love Grant Cardone.
Okay, well, these guys got his energy, and they're just fun. They're nice guys. They'll do whatever. And here they are spending all our time hanging around with us older people, but they're learning their stuff.
Wow.
And they now have 74 doors. And it's been just slightly over a year. As a matter of fact, their first building they bought in December. So they started with me in May, bought their first 12 unit in December. And here it is. We take possession of the 74th door. Actually, we just signed the agreement for sale on it. Was it yesterday, the day before? So it's 74 doors in less than a year.
Wow. That's impressive. That's impressive.
So that's what you need to do. Get your education. And if you want to do fix and flip, find somebody who resonates with you. It doesn't have to be the biggest, doesn't have to be the best, mm-hmm. doesn't have to be the most expensive, but somebody who resonates with you and who will help you and then work with them. Maybe even be part of a joint venture of somebody who's already done it. Then that way you're not taking the full risk by yourself either. That's why I teach people in my course too. Like, you don't buy apartment buildings by yourself. You usually buy them in groups. Like the odd people, like a doctor or a lawyer, might buy an apartment building by himself. But we want many apartment buildings, and it's better to buy. I'd rather own 25% of four buildings than 100% of one. It's diversification, it's safety in numbers, and one might be outperforming when the other one isn't.
Right. You know, my wife and I have this dream, like this really big, hairy, audacious goal, is to buy like a big apartment building like that or some kind of something and turn it into a resort, like a marriage retreat resort. Kind of, you know what I'm saying? Where like married couples, it doesn't have to be married, but I mean, any couples can go there for like a weekend or a week or whatever, get some marriage enrichment, relationship enrichment, mindset enrichment, like mental, physical, spiritual, like enrichment. They're there in an amazing environment. Like that's kind of our long, like in many, many, many years, like that's something that we would love to do. I think that'd be super awesome.
Well, and you just have to figure out, you know, to make sure that the business is going to pay for it because, do they need to stay? Maybe it'd be better to rent a hotel and do it quarterly as opposed to owning something like that. But, you know, it's just something you figure out as you go. Figure out the best way to do it.
Yep. Absolutely. So as we close, would that be your call to action is to get the education and educate yourself and diversify or what? We always end the show with a call to action. So what would be your call to action? Someone that could do today.
Whatever area you're interested in, find a mentor, a coach, somebody who can help you take it to the next step. Life's not a do-it-alone sport. It's a multi. You know, the more people that you can get helping you, and there are people out there that absolutely love to help. Take what they know and use it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Get a mentor. Everybody talks about that. Get a mentor. Don't do it alone. You know, there's a fast way and a slow way. The slow way is do it by yourself. So absolutely get a mentor. Yep. Well, this has been so much fun. Oh, my gosh. I have had a blast talking to you. Your energy is amazing.
It's been great.
so I can't wait to, and maybe we'll see you at one of the events. Maybe we'll see you at a One Life Fully Lived conference, because kind of the M1 and GoBundance are kind of with, you know, One Life. So would love to see you at a One Life conference, whether it be Philly in the spring or Sacramento in the fall, because Sacramento's coming up in October, or Philly in May or June. So would love to see you at some events, and I look forward to a continued relationship with you.
Absolutely. Me too, Sean, and we definitely will see each other at some of those events. I love events like that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You are most welcome, and we'll talk again very soon.
All righty. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, this has been another impactful episode with impactful guests. I love that we can have amazing people talk about their stories, how they got started, and what they're doing today to help others transform their life. So like she said, get a mentor, get educated in everything that you want to do, and then go out and make it happen. And as I close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold in your heart. I call that living your brand. So until next time, have a good night.